Blog Talk Radio.
Live to see it, friends, and welcome to the World Transformed. This program is your guide to an astounding future that lies ahead, one that will be here sooner than you think, and one that you have an important role to play in bringing about. At the World Transformed, we want to introduce you to what may be the greatest transformation of them all, the one that begins with considering and acting on the almost limitless possibilities that lie before us, and that ends somewhere beyond the reach of the human imagination. So, when does this amazing future begin? Well, today is the day. My name is Phil Bauermaster, and with me in the virtual studio is my co-blogger, co-futurist, and co-host, Stephen Gordon. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Well, I am super fantastic. How are you, my friend?
Well, it's Friday. I can't be anything but super fantastic also, right? It's got the end of another good week, and this has been fun. We're closing in on the end of this series that's been based on Thomas Frey's article, covering 72 things.
After 3 weeks of working our way through 72 stunning things in the future that will be common 10 years from now that don't exist today, I would say I'm at a loss for what we'll even do as a show next week if I didn't already know we're having Thomas on to talk about it. So at least
that's right. So
at least we know what happened.
Don't just fast forward to that episode. You got to listen to this one too. But I have this sneaking suspicion that those shows where we have him on are going to be awesome.
Yes. Well, he'll set us straight on what we got wrong about his analysis, I'm sure.
So many things, I'm sure.
Time permitting, he'll give us the broad strokes anyway. But that's going to be fun doing that. But we are going to conclude tonight. We've worked our way through, as of this show, after we get to the end of the list, 72 of these items, and we're ending on one of our favorites. You know, everything's our favorite topic around here. But, I mean, we love 3D printing, and this show is called The World is Ours for the Printing, and Tom has some interesting ideas about changes that 3D printing is going to bring about in our lives. So, I don't know. Let's just jump in and talk about them. What do you say?
Yeah, let's get into it.
All right, let's start with this first one. 3D printed makeup for women. Just insert a person's face and the machine will be programmed to apply the exact makeup pattern requested by the user. Now, question. Do you really need a 3D printer for that?
Well, you know, I think perhaps you do. And the reason you would is because what you're doing is you're actually mixing the makeup as it's being applied, right? So you don't have to have, 14 different shades for, every skin tone. You would actually, the 3D printer that you're actually putting your face into or running over your face or however it's being applied would mix to match a person's skin tone, right?
That's right. And ultimately, I guess, it's a 3D printer because the surface that's being printed on is 3D, right? In the same way we talk about additive manufacturing, there's these negative 3D printers that cut. We've talked about that versus the ones that build stuff up. And then I think ultimately printers that print onto 3D surfaces, that's a part of the whole gamut. I'm just glad I don't wear makeup because I don't feel comfortable about sticking my face into something and having it printed. So I'm just gonna throw that out there. But imagine how time saving that would actually be, right? Especially if it does it exactly to specifications. My understanding, without saying anything personal about anybody,
fifth element?
Women spend a lot of time. Some women spend a lot of time with this. And
I'm thinking the fifth element. You remember when Leilu put that thing over her eyes, and it instantly applied eye makeup to her. The original Total Recall. You remember when Arnold Schwarzenegger went to the Total Recall Center? The lady up front that greeted him, the receptionist, was having fun painting her nails digitally, right?
There you go. Look, if it was in Fifth Element, if it was in two Schwarzenegger movies, right? Or no, one of them is a Bruce Willis movie. Excuse me.
That's right.
The point is, those are credentials, right?
That's right. It's going to happen. I'm all for it.
That makes the future real. How about this 3D printed replacement teeth, which we already have, printed inside the mouth. Imagine that.
Which we don't have.
Yeah, the machine just goes in there, and it's just going to build it right up on the root, I guess, assuming you still have the root.
Right.
What do you think? Are you ready for
that? I have a 3D printed tooth, it was interesting. Before they had the 3D printed crowns, they had to actually, you know, hand make them, and it reduced the price of those crowns by about a factor of 10 when they started being able to 3D print them. And so that's a big deal. That's a big deal. And to be able to do it actually inside the mouth where they don't have to press that crown down on that basically exposed nerve. I'm going to tell you, I was white knuckling it as that crown was being installed, Phil.
Right.
It'd be nice if it was a gentle additive process inside my mouth with a tiny little machine being building that tooth up from rather than having to press that thing down. So yeah, I think a better experience for the person that's having it put in. And perhaps a better result. So
yeah,
hey,
it's a
that
better,
sounds
better
great.
Deal all the way around. I think.
Right, right.
A longer lasting solution too. I mean, crowns are pretty good, but I can't help but feel that a 3D printed tooth, especially if they can attach it to the root as they're building it in your mouth, is going to have an even longer life and even fewer problems than a crown would have. How about this one? Swarmbot printing systems will be used to produce large buildings and physical structures working 24/7 until they're completed. Now, I love this one, but I wonder if that one's a little ambitious on the 10-year time frame. I feel like we won't see that 10 years from now. Maybe we'll be closer to that than I'm thinking, though.
Well, it was the University of Alabama, I think. It was one of the big southern schools. That launched a swarm of drones for purposes. This is meant to be a military project. Something that the military could use. You shoot down 50 of these things, and the other 50 can still accomplish the mission, right?
Right.
Beating those swords into plows, is basically what we're talking about here, using this for peaceful purposes rather than tear down buildings, to build buildings. And hey, I think it's a great idea, but I'm kind of with you. I see the swarm bots working together to build things like this for us. I see this in the 15 to 20 year range.
Yeah, a little bit farther out before we're seeing those things. But we can check with Thomas Frey when we talk to him. You know, whether he's got an inside line on how fast that technology is coming. Okay, so next we get two that are kind of related, and we've talked about this kind of stuff before. Scan and print custom design clothing at retail clothing stores. Scan and print custom design shoes at specialty shoe stores. Now, I'm sure that within 10 years we'll see both of those. My question is, how much of manufacturing will have moved over to that model by then for clothing and shoes, right? How much will the whole off the rack try to fit it on yourself still exist, and how much of it will be this? Will we be at 10% custom made? Will we be at 20%? Will it just be 2 or 3%? You know what I'm saying?
Economies of scale. There's going to still be economies of scale. When you're able to make 1,000 pair of 9.5, size shoes that fit people that have a shoe size of 9.5, pretty darn good, right? I mean, it's not the same as tailor made, but a 9.5 shoe fits my foot pretty good. And if you can make 1,000 of them cheaper than individually making or printing or however you do it. 1,000 custom-made shoes, it's going to reflect in the price too, right, Bill? So, I mean, I would think that to some extent, custom clothing like this, it'll be a lot more common. But I also think it'll be a premium on it. It'll still be more expensive to do that than to buy off the rack.
It will definitely be more expensive, but once you've digitized the technology, I'm not sure that the economies of scale make as big a difference.
Right.
They definitely do today, in our world that we live in today. It's definitely, you know, orders of magnitude cheaper, right, to mass produce shoes than it is to have somebody hand make you a pair of shoes, right? Or even to have, you know, somebody who has a shoe making machine that makes you a shoe. But once, you know, the vital piece of the shoe is the information, right, that's being printed out, and these stores are going to have bulk piles of shoemaking material, I think that the gap between mass production achieved one way and this individualized mass production narrows quite a bit, right? I think that we'll see a kind of a close, not an all, maybe the gap goes away altogether, maybe not, I'm not sure. But I think that it'll be close enough in price that, you know, there will be some kind of momentum towards it. You know what I mean? There will be a tipping
point.
Well, we deal with
off the rack now because it's, number one, it's good enough.
Right.
And number two, the price differential is huge, right?
Right, right.
But as the price differential, you know, drops and we see that, hey, you know, custom shoes and clothing and everything else, hey, we get to experience it because it's not that much more expensive. I think that, you know, more and more people will then migrate to it and be willing to pay that a little bit different, and then the difference will continue to decrease.
Right.
Until
it's like the
pretty
price,
much everybody,
the price goes down. Also, our tolerance for what's good enough changes. Right.
Yeah, that's right.
For me, it wouldn't. I can't imagine it changing all that much for me, but I can, you know. Teenagers and so forth. You know, you can imagine the people who will drive that shift, right? I mean, you can see how that will happen. What's interesting to me about is in 10 years, where will we be with that? I'm not sure. But I definitely think it'll be happening by then. You know, it'll definitely be an option by then. And I fear that human tailoring, like tailor-made suits, will they be threatened by this? I'm not sure. Because you can definitely have a 3D printed perfect suit, right? I mean, perfect.
Yeah, I can't imagine a 3D. I mean, excuse me, a human tailor being able to keep up with. You know, I go in, I strip down naked, and I'm literally a 3D scan of me, of my entire body is made, right?
Right.
And then from that scan, they build a wardrobe around that, right? I don't see how a tailor is able to manage that and do as well as what could be accomplished with those kind of tools.
I don't either. Yeah, it seems to me that it's going to be very hard on tailors. Tailors are in an odd place, like travel agents, right, ultimately.
Right. I'm afraid so. If that's your profession, I'm sorry, but I don't see that as a as viable once these sort of technologies are introduced.
Is just still status around having it, you know, made by a human, and maybe there still will be. Other than that, it's hard to imagine what the appeal would be. How about this one? Expectant mothers will request 3D printed models of their unborn baby. That can sound kind of creepy, or it could be really cool. It's like you know exactly what the baby's going to look like before the baby arrives, right? Because you've got the face. And, of course, we've all seen these grainy ultrasounds. But
they've gotten better. I mean, in the days that have passed since my last kid was born, Phil, we went from those little grainy 2D ultrasounds to 3D ultrasounds that are remarkable.
Right.
So
the next step from that, really.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it would be an easy thing to do. It's just data. It's just that could be entered into the 3D printer. Now, the question is, do you make it life size? If you have a printer that is capable of doing it, why not? So,
right. Well, life-size a replica of what the baby will look like when born, or life-size the size that the fetus is now, right? So all kinds of questions that have to be answered there.
But there you go.
Actually,
yeah.
You might do a whole series, right? Oh, here's what little Timmy looked like at, 12 weeks. Here's 15 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Kind of, work your way through the process. Up on the mantle. Can you imagine? Here's the baby.
Right? Yeah, right next to the little boots that have been dipped in brass. Right, you have the here's the 3D model
exactly.
Of you in utero.
And then the kindergarten class picture right next to that.
That's there right. And here's where you put your hand in plaster. We got it all right here.
Okay, here's another application of the same kind of idea. Police departments with 3D printed mugshots and shapies generated from a person's DNA. So they take the DNA and they get a good idea of what this person looks like, right? But also the idea of a 3D printed mugshot, not just a photo, but here's this person's head, right? Or here's what this guy looks like. Not sure how you. I guess. Actually, I'm gonna step back from this one because I feel like this maybe belongs back in the VR show earlier this week, right? Wouldn't that really be where you'd want to look at a 3D mugshot, probably in some kind of VR environment, rather than printing out? It'd be kind of labor intensive and space intensive.
Want a 3D print of your suspect. But what you could do is, like in virtual reality, you get a profile and you get a straight on shot, and then you print that out and put it on the post office wall, right?
Yeah.
And when I say print it out, I mean on paper. I don't think you print out a mannequin of your suspect every time you have one.
It seems like you'd need a really big station, right?
Yeah. It'd be a creepy station.
A very creepy place. It'd be like that movie Coma, all these just...
yeah.
Especially because it'd be all these criminals, It'd be like the Wax Museum or something. Jeez. Okay, how about this? Trash that is sorted and cleaned and turned into material that can be 3D printed. This is a great idea, right? Talk about recycling, where we'll just be reusing all our stuff to make new stuff, right?
You remember when I wrote in the Speculist, I was just thinking, hey, when we're through using something, you just throw it into the bin, and if you decide you need that again, and the machine knows, hey, I don't even need to 3D print this again, it's still sitting in the bin waiting to be recycled. Here it is,
right,
and hand it to you again.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's a lot of our physical goods could we could be a one-time use kind of thing, and then toss it off into the bin and it be melted down and 3D printed in something else or whatever. So
I think that's going to be a breakthrough technology for 3D printing. Or a breakthrough application or use case, however you want to describe it. When people are recycling their own trash to make useful stuff, it just seems like you really get this circle of life feeling at that point with this. It's like not only am I making my own stuff, but I'm solving my trash problem, right? I'm helping the planet by also making this thing that I need. It seems like there's something about that I feel is going to just accelerate 3D printing quite a bit once we're able to do that fairly regularly, once that becomes part of the overall.
Well, it's sort of like they give away the printers and then they get to you on the printer ink, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And right now I think that's really the case with the 3D print stock. If they can get it to where you can, reuse the 3D printed things to make new 3D printed things, that's huge. And the first company that offers that, I'm jumping on it.
Definitely. I think that's going to be a game changer for that. Well, I've got a couple of additions to the list that I came up with. One is a security application. What if there was a lock for which no key existed? Nobody could steal the key because there is no key. All you have is like an encrypted description of the key someplace, you know, locked away safe on a disk. And if and only if you ever need to get into that lock, you print out the key, right?
Right.
A lot of potential problems with a setup like that. But you can see, you know, in like government settings, military applications, I think about those codes they used to have for launching the nukes on the nuclear subs or in the silos, right? That, you know, this almost kind of ritual they had around all the things had to be in place before anything happened. That would be a nice barrier, right, to getting into something that you really want to be absolutely sure that now is the time to get into it, right? Whether it's, you know, launching a nuke or whatever it might be, is, okay, the key doesn't even exist. Nobody can just pick it up and put it in, right? You have to have the code to print the key out to even make the thing happen. Anyway, go ahead.
I was just going to say, looking at it from the opposite direction, there was an episode of Castle a couple of years back, Phil, that there was a celebrity in New York who was being stalked by somebody who had some technical expertise and actually saw a picture in a magazine of this celebrity like walking out of a boutique or something. And in her hand, she had her keys. He zoomed in on the keys and ended up 3D printing the key to her apartment and went and got into the apartment that way.
Wow.
So I thought it was an interesting plot point, and I don't know how far-fetched that is. I think that to some extent it could happen, and given a high-resolution image, if your image is high, it has sufficient resolution, I think that could happen.
There you go. All the more reason that your key should remain virtual until you need it, right?
There you go.
Now I feel like I've really come up with something great here. My other idea was collectibles, you know, where you could print out this month's collectible action figure in the Marvel Cinematic Universe series, or this month's Lego set. You know, 3D printing and Legos are going to be great together, because you know, you buy these Lego kits for a particular thing, but Lego will eventually figure out they're just in the information business, right? They're just in the plan business, and people will be printing out their own Lego kits, right? For whatever the month is, and I can imagine this almost working like the old Book of the Month Club, right? You don't want to miss one, right? You want to get the whole set, right? So every time a new action figure comes out, well, you've got to be bought into the subscription, because you're going to get the schema for it and be able to print it out, right? You don't want to miss out on that. Or you don't want to miss out on this month's Lego set. A lot of kind of real world stuff, business models become virtual, you know, ephemeralized at this point, thanks to 3D printing. And there's probably a lot more serious applications of this too that I'm not thinking of.
No, but you know, fun stuff is serious too.
I would
guess that. For example, my board game hobby. If if I had a subscription to, you know, or just chose to buy, a model or basically the file that was would print the, you know, the rules that I need, obviously on paper, but then would actually manufacture 3D print the various bits to the, whatever game it is. Hey, I'd be on board for something like that. That'd be awesome.
Absolutely. So, well, you know, hey, you've made the transition, Stephen. It's time for Other Geek. You know,
there it is. It is.
This is actually talking about the collectible of the month. You know, action figure is probably the perfect segue into Other Geek. But in line with printing, I did want to mention this link that I've shared in the show notes here. I have the Tiger Plate on the Dot Matrix printer, just to show you that. You know, printers can take us in directions we never even would have thought about. Yes, kids, if you've never heard of a dot matrix printer, it's an old printing technology, and they made sounds. And somebody figured out that you can actually make it print things in such a way that it makes a sequence of sounds that sounds like music. And you got to watch this video to believe it, but I was quite impressed by that. And that's all I'm going to say about the Eye of the Tiger on dot matrix printer. Stephen, what other geek stuff do you... Oh, that reminds me, we skipped some non-other geek stuff for you at the beginning of the show that we were supposed to.
Yeah. Well, I'm very, very proud of my oldest son. I'm proud of all my children, obviously. Specifically what I'm proud of with my oldest, Timothy, is that He is off to Louisiana Tech this week, and
where all good geeks go in time, right?
Yeah. It is the STEM school for Louisiana. If you're interested in that sort of science, technology, engineering, mathematics, that kind of education, you tend to go to Louisiana Tech.
Yep.
And he had knocked his freshman year out at a private liberal arts university that I went to, where I met my wife, actually, at ETBU over, just down the road. He was able to get some prerequisites and things knocked out. He took chemistry and a few things like that. But it became quickly apparent to him that that was not where he needed to be if he wanted if he wants to do aerospace engineering. That's what he's interested in, Phil. So,
outstanding.
Yeah.
Does he have a career picked out? Aerospace engineer, but a particular line of stuff he wants to be doing, or has he thought that far?
you remember the song that was it was the Bruno Mars takeoff where it was about Elon Musk and SpaceX and all that.
Oh yeah.
You remember that song?
Yeah.
I asked him, what's your ultimate plan? And he says, well, I asked Timothy that, and he quoted that song back to me. We had laughed about it so much, but he said, I'd like to build a ship to Mars and put some people in.
Well, there you go.
That's what he wants to do. So, I have to think, Phil, that, some of his, his dreaming and what his goals are in life, can be traced back to this show and our involvement in this. So, again, awesome stuff. I'm very proud of Timothy and the great things that he will accomplish going forward. So,
all the best to Timothy. We look forward to hearing lots more about his college career, and let's get that Mars thing going. I think
that's right.
That's an excellent idea. Well, Stephen, you know what? I think we're just about out of time. I know you've got more geeking you can do, but why don't we save it for next?
Yeah, we'll save it for another show.
I got to do
the proud dad thing, and that's fine.
That's important. And we've run the clock down finally on our list of 72 items. So, it's a good week's work that we've accomplished here. So, great talking with you, Stephen. Thank you all for being with us. We're going to be back again Monday with a brand new show. We'll be talking to Thomas Frey on Monday and Wednesday of next week. Look forward to being with you all then. And until next time, live to see it.